We ask you to turn with us to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. We want to begin reading in the 9th verse. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. While you're holding your place in the book of Matthew chapter 6, flip over to Luke 11 at a parallel passage. I want to look at the very first verse. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And I want to stop there and say that Jesus' disciples did not ask him to teach them to teach. They did not ask him to teach them to preach. They did not ask him to teach them to heal. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They realized there was something about the prayer life of Jesus that made a difference, that made an impact. And they said, we want to learn to pray like that. So Jesus, back in Matthew 6, said, after this manner, pray ye. So what he's saying is, after this manner means in this way or in this fashion. But he wants a prayer with these characteristics involved. That would be the model prayer. Somebody said, preacher, that's called the Lord's Prayer. It can't be the Lord's Prayer. Well, why can't it? He said, forgive us our debts. He didn't have any debts. He's not a sinner. He never committed iniquity or a trespass. He couldn't say, God, forgive me for my sins. This is not the Lord's Prayer. You'll see the Lord's Prayer over in John 17, where he began to pray for us. Amen. That's the Lord's Prayer. Amen. So this is a model prayer, saying, I want you to pray in this manner. Notice there are no singular pronouns in the entire prayer. Now, there is never a me or an I. It's always our or us. What about that? Number one this morning, preacher, what about prayer then? What is the prayer that pleases God? That's what we'll entitle the message. The prayer that pleases God. Number one, a prayer that pleases God always starts with praise. The praise is, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's beginning with praise. First of all, it's praise from his sons. Our Father. Hey, when you and I got saved, the Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When we got saved, we became children of God. We became sons of the Lord God Almighty. And therefore he becomes our Father. And the word our doesn't just mean me singularly, but it envelops a brotherhood. Amen. So we can praise him from his sons. Amen. Let me tell you about my daddy. Let me tell you about my father. Amen. When Jesus prayed in the garden in Matthew 14 and verse number 36, he said, Abba, Father. All things are possible unto thee. That word Abba, Father, is a word that means dearest father. It is an intimate word of a close relationship, which also means daddy. Praise the Lord. We have an intimate relationship with our Father. I'm glad that Jesus told Mary, he said, I'm going to ascend to my Father and to your Father. Amen. This morning, the sons of God have a Father.
But not only is it praise from his sons, but it's a praise from his saints. It says, which art in heaven. Hey, he's sovereign. He's creator God. There's nobody above him, amen. Nobody will ever be above him. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far his ways are above our ways. We can't even measure how far the heavens are above the earth. We see the first heaven, and that goes beyond our intellect. And then there's a second heaven, and that goes beyond our measuring, amen. We haven't even got into the third heaven of the abode of Almighty God. And now think about his saints. Look what it continues to say. It says, hallowed be thy name. The word hallow means to make holy. It is to set apart. What the Lord is saying, God, your name is set apart from all other names. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. No other name. Hey, there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved but at the name of Jesus. And Jesus and God are the same, amen. And you and I can praise him because we're his saints. We want to say, his name is holy. He's thrice holy. And we lift him up. We exalt him this morning. Hallowed be the name of the Lord. Listen, the name is not just like Darren or Joe or Matthew. A name is character. And his character is altogether lovely this morning. Hallowed be thy name. So we can praise him from his sons. We can praise him from his saints. Thirdly, we can praise him from his subjects. The scripture says, thy kingdom come. Listen, friend, this morning, his kingdom, he's got sovereign authority. His kingdom is coming, amen. He's over all and always will be over all. But when we pray, thy kingdom come, we're not just praying that he comes again because we know he's already promised that he is. But what it also means is, Lord, we want you through Jesus Christ to be enthroned upon everyone's heart. We want Jesus enthroned in this church for all of us. We want Jesus enthroned in every church. Amen, for his glory. We want Jesus enthroned in this state and in this country. We want Jesus enthroned, not only in this country, but all across the world. We're to pray, thy kingdom come, because we want Jesus enthroned in our family, amongst our friends, not just in our churches, but also to all the lost people. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we're praying for lost people, that the kingdom of God would be made known to them and that they would be saved before it's everlasting too late. We are subjects to the king, and I'm proud of my king this morning. I'll never forget Brother Bob McCurry telling that he was over in the Middle East one time, and he said he was in a little place eating, and all of a sudden everybody run out of the restaurant, and he said he looked, the whole place was empty but him, and people was running out to the street, and one guy was flipping cartwheels, and he sat there and looked up to somebody that was still in the restaurant and said, what's going on out there? They said, the king is passing by, and everybody's run out to see him. And he sat there for a second, and he said, well, I wonder why I didn't feel anything. Why didn't I get up and run out there? And he said, oh, I just realized something. That's not my king. My king's still coming, amen, and I worship him this morning. We are his loyal and royal subjects. Next of all, what about for his servants? The scripture says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Hey, a servant who is loyal to his master wants the master's will to be done. Can I ask you a question? Now, this is going to be deep. Is the will of God done in heaven? Then what's being done in heaven right now? There's peace. Amen. There's praise. That's what's being done in heaven right now. Jesus said we're to pray for his will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. In other words, in like manner. Hey, church, this morning, hey, we ought to pray for the peace of God upon this earth and the praise of God upon this earth. Amen. First of all, this prayer begins with praise. Every time you get in a place to begin to pray, you need to praise him a little bit. Don't just jump right in and go to asking him. Start praising him. Boy, I tell you what, if we'd spend more time praising him in our prayer life, amen, we wouldn't have no trouble when we get amongst the people of God and we gather in the church and get in the choir. We'd have no problem in the Sunday school classes praising his holy name because we'd be practiced up in prayer. Second of all, this morning, not only does this prayer start with praise, but this prayer involves us sharing our petitions. Look with me in verse number 11. As we begin to share our petition, he says, give us this day our daily bread. So first of all, we are to seek God's provisions. We're to ask God for daily bread. He didn't say, give me, give me, give me. He said, give us. You know, it is a dependent request. You and I are dependent upon Him. Hey, if Bill Gates was told this morning that he had to feed the birds, he would run out of money by lunch. But our God feeds them 2 and 3 squares every day and takes care of us as well. He has made us a promise that I will take care of you. And He will. He provides for us. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have to get up and go to your job, but He gave you a job to go to. Amen. And if you don't have one, He'll give you one. Amen. I promise you, God's not going to let you go hungry. He's got a responsibility to feed you. When young men join the army and they link up with Uncle Sam, immediately Uncle Sam promises them 3 squares a day. Isn't that right, Brother Russell? And gives them a uniform. He just got back from overseas and gives them a uniform and takes care of their every need. Amen. But let me tell you something. Uncle Sam really don't care if they got a good attitude or a bad attitude. Uncle Sam's got a lot of things he don't care for about. But our God, amen, clothes us. Our God feeds us, amen. Our God takes care of us every single day. And He cares for our prayer requests. He cares for our families. He cares what's going on in our life. And He says, I want you to share your petition with me. We can ask and seek God for His provision. Because it's a dependent request. But look, it's also a daily request. He said, give us this day our daily bread. You remember over in the Old Testament? When they were out there in the wilderness and they didn't have anything to eat and they started murmuring and complaining to God, what did He do? He rained down manna from above, and every day it was just enough to feed their entire family. If they tried to store it, if they tried to hoard it, it was rotten by the next day. Except for the day before the Sabbath, and it would somehow miraculously last through the Sabbath as well. And after that, it was gone again, and you had to go get it. How is it you'd go out and get manna? How would you pick it up? Like this, on your knees. Hey, man, that expresses some gratitude from our heart. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. Hey, if God took care of those characters there in the Old Testament, walking through the wilderness with no way to provide for themselves, Don't you know that God is going to take care of you and He's going to take care of me? And when we pray, God, don't give us what we want. Give us what we need. Give us our daily bread. Hey, when we pray that prayer, we're not only praying for provide for my family, but we're praying for God to provide for all the families. Amen. So we can seek God's provision. Next of all, we can seek God's pardon. He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Preacher, what does that mean? You see, our sin violated the holiness of God. And immediately it cast us in debt. We couldn't pay. Do you know what happens to people that can't pay? Yeah, preacher, they go bankrupt. And you know what happens? What ought to happen in the old school? They throw them in jail. They were cast into a debtor's prison. Well, preacher, if you're in a debtor's prison, you'll never get out. That's exactly right. Until the one you owe says, I will forgive you of this debt, you're not getting out of that debtor's prison. But praise God, there was one named Jesus who walked up Calvary's hill and paid my sin debt and your sin debt, amen. And the debt's been paid in full. And He said, now you may go free. Hallelujah. He set us free this morning. Amen. I'm glad that we can go to Him with our sins, with our debts, and He'll forgive us of our sins. But don't forget something, that if you release someone this morning from a debtor's prison, it costs somebody something. It didn't cost the one in prison anything, but it cost the one on the cross everything. And the Bible says, Father, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. If someone sinned against us, forgive them. If you don't forgive them, look at verses 14 and 15 again. He says in verse 15, that if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you don't forgive them, God's not going to forgive you. If somebody owed me $1,000 and they were cast into prison because they couldn't pay it, and finally, out of the goodness of my heart, I let them go free, it's going to cost me $1,000 to let them go. You know, forgiving somebody is going to cost you something. To cancel a debt, it's going to cost you something. But I promise you, if somebody's in a debtor's prison to you over whatever it is, if you, when you let them go, I'm going to tell you who you're going to find out who was really the one that was in prison. It's you. Because if you don't let them go, God's not going to let you go. And as you let as you free them, God will free you. So many of our churches are so bound up and there's no spirit there anymore because we won't practice forgiveness. And if we had practiced forgiveness, our churches would be a whole lot better. You and I, when we pray, we need to seek God's provision and we need to seek God's pardon. It gets even better than that. Look at the next verse here in verse number 13. We need to seek God's protection. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to seek God's protection, His guidance. He said, lead us not into temptation. Now, preacher, that means then that I ought to never have no temptations. You remember that old boy down there? He'd been on a diet, been about 6 weeks, and he's a big old boy, and he'd lost a lot of weight. And he's craving Krispy Kreme. And he walked into the office that morning with a box of 12 donuts. And somebody said, boy, have you come off your diet? Have you broke your streak? I thought you had made a commitment. He said, I had made a commitment to stick with my diet. He said, but I prayed this morning when I got the Krispy Kreme. Said, God, if it's meant for me to go in there, let me have a parking place right in front of the door. And he said, on my eighth time around, one opened up. Amen. Hear me this morning. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, it doesn't mean that temptation's not going to come. I can read you out of James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, and get him down to verse 15, and I can tell you that God is not going to be the one who leads you in temptation. He may allow temptation to come. You know, did you know in the Greek that the word temptation and the word testing are the same words? And the thing that makes it different is who is in control of it. What do you mean, preacher? You see, God will allow you to be tested, not so He'll know what you're going to do, but so you'll learn to trust in Him. You'll learn to have confidence in Him, amen? It develops a dependency upon Him. That's what He wants. But temptation comes. The old devil tries to tear you down with it, amen? And he tries to defeat you. So when Jesus said, pray about temptation, He said, Lord, don't let something come to me that's going to cause me to be swayed into sin. Deliver me from evil. When temptation comes, Lord, lead me through that and let me be successful through it. Some of y'all looking at me funny. Let me give you an example. Preacher, don't understand temptation, testing, same word. Okay, if you took a knife in the hands of a surgeon, he'll do surgery on somebody and bring healing in their life. But you give this same knife to Charles Manson, a murderer, chances are he's going to hurt somebody with it. Now, it's the same knife. It just depends on who's trying to use it. Are you with me? Temptation and testing is the same word. It just depends on who's trying to use it. And here the Bible says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Who's the evil one? The devil. He says, when temptation comes and tries to sway me into sin, Lord, lead me, deliver me, spare me, save me, preserve me through this. Don't let me fall into sin. Boy, we need the help of God or we'll fall into sin every time. The Bible says that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. God will show us what's coming up for us and help us through that if we would look to Him. So we need to seek God's provision, seek God's pardon, and we need to seek God's protection. That's the way that we begin to share our petitions. It's real simple. I mean, when God first gave me this message, I had 12 points. But He broke it down to 3. Y'all say amen for that, amen. First of all, it starts with praise. And second of all, you share your petition. And thirdly, you secure God's power. When you finish your prayer, You ought to ask in Jesus' name. Finish it up and say, Lord, I'm asking this in the name of Jesus. He's the name above all names. He's our bloodstained redeemer, amen. He's the Son of God. If anybody has a connection to the throne room, it's the Son of God. We're to ask in Jesus' name. The Bible says in John 14, 13, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, preacher, now I'm looking at the verses, and it doesn't say that I'm to ask in Jesus' name. He says, for thine is the kingdom. Who do you think he's talking about? Who's the kingdom belong to? It belongs to God. He's sovereignly in control. When you ask, ask in the name of God. What's the name of God? Jesus, the Son of God. He says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Preacher, break that down. He says, for thine is the kingdom. That's the authority of God. He says, for thine is the power. Hey, what is power? But it's ability. God's power this morning is limitless. There is nothing impossible to our God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. When it talks about glory, it's talking about adoration. Hey, does somebody worship him this morning? Can somebody give my God a little glory? When we glorify his name, we're adoring him. We're worshiping him. We are praising him. Hey, our God this morning, friend, you can, his grace and his power is measureless. You can't limit it, amen. Hallelujah. It can reach into all places. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Friend, I get to thinking about his abiding. He's going to abide forever. So in these verses, you see his authority, his ability, his adoration, his abiding. And look what it ends with. He says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, period. Amen. You know what amen means? So let it be. It means I am in perfect agreement. You end every prayer, you say in Jesus' name, amen. You know who's the amen? Jesus. Amen. He is the amen. Hallelujah. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Our prayer lives need to start with praising him. Our prayer lives need to share our petitions, share our heart. And our prayer lives need to secure the power of God. We need to ask in Jesus' name. Why? Because his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I think about Mr. George Mueller. George Mueller lived back in the 1800s. He was a drunk. He was a gambler. I mean, he would slip into a motel, amen, and spend the night and leave without ever paying. He was a wretch of a man. But he was invited to a Bible study. Kind of like people's going to Sunday school stuff and having prayer meetings at their house. He was invited to a Bible study, and he heard the gospel, and he fell on his knees and asked God to save him, a wretch of a man, and God saved his soul. Well, he started cleaning his life up there through the power of God. He met a young lady and they got married. God called him into the ministry. He had a burden for orphanages. So he had an orphanage, and first week he had 26 kids. He built another orphanage. He built a third orphanage. And soon he ran out of money. Some people said he had spread out too far. He had gotten too big for his britches. They began to laugh at him. He couldn't even feed the children on that last morning. He didn't know what to do. But he said, by faith, I'm going to set the table. By faith, I'm going to ask the children to come down and take their places at the table. And by faith, I'm going to ask the blessing before the meal without anything even sitting on the table. And he began to pray and seek the face of God. And while he was sharing his petition, there came a knock on the door. It was the baker. The baker said, Pastor Mueller, the Lord got me up last night and told me to make extra bread. And I've toiled all morning, and it's just hot out of the oven. And I'm just wondering if y'all could use some bread today for your meal. That was all they was going to get. He said, yes, we could use the bread. Bring it all in, amen, right while he was praying. As they're unloading all the bread and putting it down on the tables and tearing it, putting it in a children's plate, another knock comes at the door. They opened the door, and they said, yes. And it was the milkman. His wagon had broke down in front of the orphanage, and all that milk was going to spoil. And the milkman said, could you use any milk? It's all going to go to waste. He said, hey, if God, through prayer, needs to break down an old milk wagon, amen, so we might have something, that'll be all right, amen. And guess what? Our God can do that for us as well. He'll give us whatever we need. I want to remind you this. Prayer is the magnet that drew Rachel to Abraham's servant when it was time for the marriage in Genesis chapter 24. Prayer is the might that opened the Red Sea in Exodus 14. Prayer is the medicine that added 15 years to Hezekiah's life in Isaiah 38. Prayer is the muzzle God put on the lions in the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6. Prayer is the messenger that delivered Peter from the prison in the book of Acts. Oh, how we've got to learn to pray. If prayer can do all those things, we've got to start with praise them, and we've got to share our petition, and we need to learn to secure His power. Friend, I'm going to ask you this morning, doesn't my God deserve a little praise? Isn't my God able to take your petition and do whatever He wants to with it? The Bible says, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Friend, I'm going to say to you this morning, there's nothing too hard for God. You may say, well, my burden's too simple for God. Let me tell you something. He cares for you even down to providing for your daily bread. I believe there's somebody here. You need to hit this altar this morning. You need to say, oh, God, I want to praise You. I've not praised You like I should, and I can do it in prayer. Prayer comes in the form of praise. Maybe there's somebody else here this morning say, oh, God, I've got some petitions, preacher. Lord, my daughter, Lord, my son, my grandchildren, Lord, my family. Lord, I pray for our church. God, I want to pray for the school. God, I want to pray for upcoming school year. Folks need to come. You can share your petition with God. And when you pray this morning, ask in Jesus' name, for His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we pray this morning that God, You'd forgive us of our sins. Oh, God. Lord, we've committed against You, Lord. Cast into a debtor's prison forever without the power of Jesus. Until one day, He went up to that old cross and laid down His life, shedding His blood that we might be saved. And God, I'm thankful to be released from a debtor's prison. And God, because now I've been adopted into Your family, I want to praise You this morning, God. I want to bow my head this morning and say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Oh, this morning, Lord, I thank You, God, for who You are, Your very nature and Your very character. And God, this morning, we praise You all for who You are and all that You've ever done. And God, then we bring to You our petition. Oh, God, there are things we cannot do, places we cannot go, people we cannot help. But God, You can do all things. I pray You touch these that are going to have surgery this week. Help these that are lost, God, I pray. Touch these families that are broken apart and devoured by the devil, God. Comfort them, God, and help them, Lord, I pray. Answer the prayer requests, God, that are being made in this room this hour, God, as they bow before Your throne in faith, calling on Your holy name. Oh, God, I ask this morning, God, You'd touch them, Lord, as only You can. God, I pray for Richmond, God, and his needs today, oh God. Lord, I pray You'd encourage their heart. God, I ask this morning then, all these favors I ask in Jesus' name, because He's worthy, because He's able, because He's ever more enduring. God, I pray this morning, God, in the name of Jesus, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Bless His holy name. Thank You, God.